Whether we are in denial or not, Thanksgiving is quickly come upon us. The time of way too much food, the time of way too much football, the time of eating gobs and gobs of turkey and falling asleep on the couch, watching somebody other than the Browns hopefully lose. But this is a week of Thanksgiving, of busyness, of friends and family coming into town, of baking pies and turkeys and side dishes and vegetables. Boo, why do they put that in the Thanksgiving table? But this is a week to count our blessings, to be grateful and thankful for all that we have, and even on a Thursday afternoon, God willing, to find some contentment in our world. So, as you are all taking your turkey nap this Thursday, we all know what it is like to be content with our worlds, with ourselves, with our blessings, and with all that we have in this world to enjoy. But in our text this morning, from the letter to the Philippians, Paul speaks of a different sort of contentment, not with full bellies of way too much food or falling asleep to the Lions or the Cowboys on television, but a different kind of contentment. Not enjoying the company of friends and family, people we have not seen for weeks or perhaps months or even years, but a contentment that lies not in naps or food or football. But Paul speaks of a different kind of contentment, a contentment found in the mercy and in the care of Jesus Christ. We remember that Paul writes this letter while he is bleeding in a jail cell. And yet even then, while he is dying without food, without freedom, he can speak of being content with himself and his place in our world. He says, I have learned the secret to being contented and self-satisfied with my place in this world. Whether it be a time that I had plenty or a time when I had nothing, a time when I enjoyed the fullness of food or starving on the road in the wilderness. Paul says, I can do all things through the one who has strengthened me. And yet, even in prison, without enjoying a turkey dinner, without sleeping on the couch, forsaken by everyone, locked up, bleeding upon the stones with manacles around his wrists, Paul can speak of being content. No turkey, no TV, no iPhone 8, no plans to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning and do some Black Friday shopping. In fact, Paul was without most of the things that make us content. But yet Paul can speak of being content nonetheless, because even in a jail cell and starving, even Paul can have Christ Jesus. So Paul's contentment is a different contentment than our world can give us. Neither lying with turkey, nor pie, nor TV, nor technology, nor gasp shopping. Paul speaks of a contentment in being in relationship with God Almighty in Christ Jesus. So even when we have or have not, we still have Christ. even when we have gorged ourselves on way too much food, or perhaps either when our stomachs begin to rumble because we have not, we still have Christ Jesus. Even when our worlds are exactly the way we want them, and we have everything our hearts desires, even when we are in the deepest and most profound of needs, spiritual or material, we still have Christ Jesus our Lord. So perhaps Paul's contentment is a different kind of contentment, one that says, in all and every circumstance, I can do everything because Jesus is strengthening me with God's might. But we have to remember that the all things of which Paul speaks is a different kind of all things. He's not saying that we can win through the strength of Jesus Christ. He's not talking about the trophies we can get in sports or the fortunes we can make in the stock market. He's not talking about winning elections or debates or discussions. Paul is talking about, I can do all things like dying in prison. This verse, which I have just said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, has been a verse which the world has used to deceive us, that through Christ we can do anything and everything we can imagine. All it takes is prayer and we can become a millionaire. All it takes is a little bit of prayer and you can get whatever you want, like winning at sports. And believe me, it doesn't work when you pray for the Browns. But how many times have athletes been convinced, if I just pray hard enough, I will win? How many books have been sold, just pray and believe and God will make you blessed beyond your wildest imaginations? But Paul is saying this in jail, in chains, literally bleeding on the stones. Does that sound like Paul's going to win the Lombardi Trophy? Or Paul is going to get billions of dollars investing in a 401k? Does that sound like the person who just got elected to be president of the United States? No. Paul is talking about a different kind of contentment, a different kind of strength. Not getting all that we want, but maybe even suffering for the sake of God. Paul is talking about being dependent upon God every moment of every day. Not winning or vanquishing or conquering or victory as we know victory. Not talking about fortunes and property and cars and even family. Paul is talking about, I can do all things for God through God. And that might even be dying alone in a jail cell, not having all of those things we want. We have to remember that God gives us power, but it is not power to win or to conquer. It's a power of compassion and service, pain and suffering, or else we forget the life that Jesus lived, not a life for himself, but a life for our world. So God's promise is not that you are going to get the trophy, or the trophy wife, or the trophy husband. God's promise is not that you are going to get millions and cars and houses and vacations and phones and Xboxes or PlayStations. God's promise is that you will get everything you need to be faithful to God. But it also means that if God strengthens and empowers us, then it means that we have work to do. It doesn't mean we can run away from the world's problems or hide just because they're big or they're hard or they're difficult. It doesn't mean that we can be content in Jesus Christ as if we could escape to our own abandoned island in the Caribbean and forsake the world and our neighbors and our problems and the injustices. It doesn't mean that I could spend my every waking moment of my retirement playing golf. It means that if we are truly dependent upon Christ Jesus, we cannot escape the world, but rather we must fight for it. But we make a terrible mistake as church leaders, thinking that the gospel is the opium which numbs our souls. As if we could be convinced that it's God's problem to fix this world, it ain't ours. So we take our gospel, we take our two pills, and we become numb to the fact that there are people suffering in this very room, let alone outside of our walls. And we seek to hide and run away because it's safe. In our country clubs, in our easy chairs, and in our vacation homes. But we are reminded that we can do all things through the one who strengthens us, even if the work God gives us is great. So, my friends, does not mean you can get whatever you want as long as you ask Jesus for it. It also doesn't mean you can run and hide from the work God has laid upon you because it's too tough, it's too difficult, and quite frankly, it interferes with my plans. What it does mean is that not only are we called to great work by our God, it means that God's help is quite up to the task. As Martin and Hawthorne once wrote, the work to which we are called as Christians is great and difficult and overwhelming. But the help that God gives us is up to that task. But it's God's work, not the work you give yourselves. But it's God's help. It's not our help, the help we can help ourselves with. And that means that you and I can truly do all things through the one who strengthens us. And that is a different kind of contentment than turkey and football. It means that wherever you are, in whatever circumstances you find yourself, that place, that time, that difficulty, that joy can be an opportunity to be content. Not because you win, not because you have, but because you are in Christ Jesus. Perhaps then is the great secret to be truly content, because that has nothing to do with whether we are full or hungry, wealthy or poor. It means that if we are always in Christ Jesus, whatever we face is an opportunity to rest in the power of Jesus Christ. So I would venture a guess that this Thanksgiving season is not just a moment to be thankful and grateful for all of our blessings, the freedoms that we enjoy that others do not, the fact that we can have a church and a community to gather together to worship and serve our God, but the food on the table, the faces around the table that were not there before, all the many blessings, and we could name 100 and 100 more after those. But I would also venture a guess that there is probably something going on this Thanksgiving season we are not thankful for having. For those that are sick, those that are dying or perhaps even dead, the relationships that are breaking down, the struggles we have in our community, the drugs, the poverty, the threats of war, not just in our neighborhoods, but across the world. There are things to be thankful for, and there are struggles to struggle with. But here, once again, the good news of God in Christ Jesus. Our work might be great, but so is the help that God gives us. God's own Son, God's own Spirit, to remake and recreate our world. And that means that whatever we struggle with, whatever we are elated with, we can do it. Because we are in Christ Jesus, and Christ Jesus is in us. So, my friends, this Thanksgiving is a time of contentment. Not because of the turkey or the pie or the fact that we annihilate the Jaguars this afternoon, I can hope. Nothing to do with the fact that our friends and family are around our table. Our true source of our greatest contentment is the fact that Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit is in all of those things and our lives as well. So whether we are in prison or the hospital or at home or on the streets, it means that we can truly be content, but a different kind of contentment, one which lies in Christ Jesus. So, my friends, this season, let us truly be thankful. Let us truly be grateful for all that we have. And let us be truly grateful and content for the greatest gift ever given to us by our God, the Spirit of His one and only beloved Son, who left heaven to be around our Thanksgiving tables. But let us remember that in Christ we can be content, but we are also called to work, to great work. And in that work, God's help is truly up to the task. So let us rest content, not in our turkey naps upon the couch, but let us rest ever content wherever we are, whatever we face. Let us rest content in the presence of the Spirit of the Son of God. And that just might be, for the very first time, a true Thanksgiving. Amen.